On the way back to Damascus, Elijah passes Elisha plowing with 12 oxen. Elijah throws him his scarf, and Elisha stops plowing and promises to follow him. Elijah sends him back, and Elisha sacrifices all 12 oxen to the Lord and gives the meat to eat. He then follows Elijah and becomes his servant. Ben-Hadad is the king of Aram, and his capital is Damascus. He has 32 other kings who have joined forces with him to overtake the northern kingdom of Israel. He threatens Ahab with a message that day, and he says, "All your gold, silver, wives, and children are mine." So Ahab replies, "I am yours and all that I have." A second message is sent to Ahab by Ben-Hadad, saying he is coming within 24 hours to collect everything that is precious to him. And this time Ahab refuses, and Ben-Hadad replies that he will destroy them. A prophet tells Ahab that his army will be victorious against Ben-Hadad and the 32 kings. And so he gathers 7,232 men from the northern kingdom, and he surrounds the camp of Ben-Hadad for 7 days. Ben-Hadad is unimpressed. At noon on the seventh day, Israel attacks while Ben-Hadad and his 32 kings are getting drunk. And Israel kills 100,000 men, and the rest escape to Aphek, where the city wall falls on them and they die. In all, 127,000 Aramites die, including the 32 kings, but Ben-Hadad escapes to a room deep inside the city. Some of Ben-Hadad's soldiers tell him that the king of Israel is merciful. So they put on sackcloth and rope around their heads, and they go to Ahab. Ben-Hadad promises to restore all that his father took from Israel, and Ahab agrees to the covenant and lets Ben-Hadad go. One of the Lord's prophets asks another prophet to hit him, but he refuses. The prophet tells him that a lion will kill him for not striking him, and sure enough, when he departs, a lion kills him. He asks another to hit him, and he does. And the prophet bandages his head and waits for Ahab by the side of the road. When Ahab arrives, the prophet tells him that he was in the battle and the commander told him to guard the prisoner, but he got away and he would have to pay a talent of silver. "The man escaped," he said to Ahab, and Ahab tells him that he has spoken his own judgment. The prophet removes the bandage and Ahab recognizes him. He tells Ahab he is to let go the man that the Lord put in his hands to kill. Therefore, his life will be the payment for Ben-Hadad's. Ahab is devastated as he returns to his house in Samaria. Just outside Ahab's palace in Samaria, Naboth owns a vineyard. Ahab asks if he could trade the land for a better vineyard, but Naboth refuses because the Lord has told him not to give away his inheritance. Ahab becomes depressed over the matter, and Jezebel asks him why he is so distraught. "Aren't you the king?" she says. "Get up and eat. I will get the vineyard for you." Jezebel forges a letter in Ahab's name and places his seal on it. It is sent to the elders and the nobles to proclaim a fast so the people from all of the country will come into the city. At the fast, she enlists two scoundrels to testify against Naboth. They say Naboth cursed the king, so the elders have him stoned. And when he is dead, Jezebel tells Ahab to take the vineyard, and he does. The Lord sends Elijah to Naboth's field when Ahab goes to take possession of it. And Elijah says to Ahab, "You have murdered to take possession, so the dogs will lick up your blood in the same place they licked up Naboth's. You and your family will be like Jeroboam and Baasha. The dogs will devour those who die in the city, and the birds will devour those who die in the fields. The dogs will eat Jezebel in Jezreel because she organized Naboth's death." Ahab tore his clothing and repented. He humbled himself, and the Lord decides to postpone his family's destruction until after his death. In Asa's 40th year as king of the southern kingdom, he dies in his old age, with a disease in his feet. His son Jehoshaphat becomes king, and he is a good king who loves the Lord. It is Ahab's fourth year as king of the north. Jehoshaphat is 35 when he becomes king, and he will reign for 25 years. For the next 34 years, the relationship between the north and the south has become very good because of Jehoshaphat's heart and Ahab's humbling experience with Elijah, prophecy, and Naboth's death. By Ahab's 38th year, his relationship with Aram had been quiet, but one city, Ramoth-Gilead, had not been returned as promised by Ben-Hadad. Ahab calls for a visit from Jehoshaphat in Samaria, and he accepts. Ahab asks Jehoshaphat to go fight with him at Ramoth-Gilead. Jehoshaphat agrees, but only if the prophet foretells that they will be victorious. Ahab asks 400 prophets of the north, and they all support the battle. But Jehoshaphat is cautious, and he asks if there is a prophet from his area that they may ask. And Ahab tells him about Micaiah. But Ahab hates Micaiah, because Micaiah never prophesies anything good about him. They send for Micaiah, and in the meantime, the prophets of Samaria begin prophesying at the gate while Ahab and Jehoshaphat sit there together on their thrones at the threshing floor. Zedekiah makes some iron horns and tells Ahab that he will gore the Arameans until they are dead. When Micaiah arrives, he tells them that Ahab will not survive the battle. Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, "See, I told you, he never says anything good about me." Micaiah also tells them that the Lord sent a deceiving spirit to the 400 prophets so that they would prophesy falsely. At that point, Zedekiah hits Micaiah on the cheek and asks him, "How did the spirit say one thing to me and another thing to you?" Micaiah tells him, "You will know when you are hiding for your life." Ahab has Micaiah arrested and delivered to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, Ahab's son. He tells him to feed him only enough to keep him alive until he returns safely from the battle. Micaiah tells him, "If you return safely, the Lord has not spoken to me." Ahab disguises himself so the Arameans will not know that he is fighting in the battle. Jehoshaphat dresses in his robe and sits on his throne overlooking the battleground. The Arameans think he is Ahab, and they have been instructed to kill the king and him alone. When Aram's captain sees that it is not Ahab on the throne, they turn back and start fighting the Israelites. A soldier shoots Ahab in an opening in his armor. He tells his driver to get him out of the battle because he is severely wounded. And while the battle continues, they prop Ahab up in his chariot so his men can see him, but he dies at evening and his blood runs down into his chariot. At sunset, the battle ends and all the men return to their cities. Back in Samaria, Ahab is buried, and his chariot is washed out by a pool. It is the place where Naboth was stoned, and the dogs lick up his blood just like Elijah prophesied. Jehu rebukes Jehoshaphat for trying to help Ahab. "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate, and so bring wrath upon yourself and the Lord?" he asked. But Jehoshaphat had sought the Lord and acted according to his direction. When Ahab dies, his son Ahaziah becomes king of the northern kingdom, and he is as evil as his father, and he only rules for 2 years. During Ahaziah's second year, the Moabites rebel against him, and one day he falls through the lattice in his upper room. Hurt on his bed, he sends a servant to Beelzebub to see if he will recover. The Lord sends Elijah to stop the servant from reaching the God there in Ekron. "Why are you going to Beelzebub? Isn't there a God in Israel? Go tell Ahasuerus he will not get up from his bed," Elijah says. Ahasuerus is surprised when the servant returns so soon. When he hears the report, he asks if it was a hairy man with a leather belt. And then he knew it was Elijah. He sends a captain with 50 men to bring him. And when they approach Elijah and demand him to follow, he says, "If I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you." Fire immediately comes down, and they are gone. Ahab sends another 50 men, and the same thing happens. The captain of the third 50 approaches Elijah carefully and begs for his life and his men. The prophet tells him that he cursed him because he reached out to Beelzebub instead of the true God. When Ahaziah dies, his son becomes king of the northern kingdom. It is the second year of the southern king's reign, and his name is Jehoram. Elijah and Elisha leave Gilgal on their way to Bethel. And just away from Bethel, Elijah asks Elisha to wait, but he refuses. In Bethel, he asks Elisha to stay there as he goes to Jericho, but once again, he refuses. At Jericho, he asks him to stay there, but Elisha refuses. At Bethel and Jericho, the prophets of the town tell Elisha that Elijah will leave him that day. 50 prophets followed them at a distance. At the Jordan River, Elijah strikes a scarf in the water, and it divides in half so they can walk across on dry ground. Across the Jordan, Elijah asks Elisha if he would like him to give him anything, and he asks for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Elijah promises it only if Elisha sees him take it away. A chariot of fire with horses of fire arrive to take Elijah away in a whirlwind. Elisha sees it, and he tears his clothes as he cries out. When Elijah is taken up in the whirlwind, his scarf drops to the ground. Elisha picks it up, and he strikes the Jordan River. And just as with Elijah, the river divides, and Elisha walks across on dry ground. The 50 men who have been watching urge Elisha to let them go look for Elijah, but he says no. They keep annoying him, and he finally agrees. They search 3 days in vain. And back in Jericho, they tell Elisha they could not find him. Elisha says, I told you so, but you insisted. The people are happy in Jericho, but the water is bad. Elisha asks for a jar full of salt. He throws the salt in the water, and it becomes pure and remains that way. On his way to Bethel, 42 boys mock Elisha's bald head. He curses them. 2 female bears come out of the woods and kills all 42 boys. During Ahab's life, he makes Misha, the king of Moab, pay a yearly tax of 100,000 lambs and wool from 100,000 rams. With Ahab's death, Misha, the king of the Moabs, refused to pay the yearly tax of 100,000 lambs and the wool from 100,000 rams. With Ahab's death, Misha refuses to pay that tribute, and Ahab's son, Jehoram, gathers the forces of Israel, and he contacts Jehoshaphat to join him in forcing Misha to pay up. Jehoshaphat agrees, and they travel through Edom, enlisting the king to join them. It takes 7 days to get to Moab, and no water is found on the way. Jehoram wanted to give up, but Jehoshaphat wants to ask a prophet who is near. Elisha is there. The 3 kings visit Elisha, but he does not want to have anything to do with them, telling them to go on to their prophets in their own lands. Jehoram says that the Lord has delivered the 3 kings into the Moabite king's hands. Elisha is willing to speak with them only because of his great regard for Jehoshaphat. Elisha asks the musician to play for him, and he does, and while he is playing, the Spirit comes upon Elisha. Dig trenches in this valley, and they will be filled with water for you and for your cattle to drink. It is an easy thing for the Lord, Elisha says. The Lord will give the Moabites into your hands. And during the morning sacrifice, the water begins to flow from Edom, and it fills the trenches. The next morning, all the Moabite soldiers come to fight. The water looks like blood, and they think that the 3 kings have fought against each other. They go in for the spoils, but Israel attacks, and the battle is fierce. The Moabite king takes 700 swordsmen to try to push through to the king of Edom, but they fail. The Moabite king sacrifices his own son in hopes that his God will favor him. It is a fierce battle with great losses, and the 3 kings retreat. A widow of a prophet who helped Elisha comes begging for help because the bank is coming to take her house. What do you have in the house? Elisha asks. A jar of oil, she replies. Have your son borrow as many pots as they can find. In your house, behind closed doors, pour oil from the jar into them for all, he says. And when she fills them all, there are no more pots to borrow, and the oil stops. She sells the oil and pays her debt, and they continue to live on the money that is left over. Every time Elisha travels through Shunem, a prominent woman feeds him. She convinces her husband to build a room for him, and he asks his servant what he can do for her. But Gehazi does not know. Speaking with the woman, he promises she will have a child the next year. "Please don't deceive me," she says. However, the next year a boy is born. When the boy grows older, he complains about his head hurting. He sits in his mother's lap until he dies at noon. She places the boy in Elisha's bed. The woman mounts a donkey and rides to Elisha at Mount Carmel. Elisha sees her coming and sends Gehazi to see if all is well. "All is well," she says, but she is troubled. Gehazi tries to keep her from Elisha, but Elisha intervenes. She says the bad news, and Elisha gives her his staff. "Lay this on him, Gehazi." But the woman does not want to leave Elisha. The three go to Shunem, where Elisha lays on the boy mouth to mouth, eye to eye, hands to hands, twice. The boy sneezes, and Elisha has his mother pick him up. Elisha is with the prophets in Gilgal, and a famine is over the land, so Elisha asks for stew to be made. The cooks gather herbs and gourds, and they cut them up and put them in the pot. And the prophets eat it. They say, "Death is in the pot." But Elisha throws in some meal into the stew and tells him to feed the people, and the stew is safe. A man from Baal Shalisha brings his first fruit offerings of 20 loaves of bread and a sack of ears of corn. "Give it to the people and let them eat," Elisha says. "To 100, they ask. "No, to all," he says, and after they divide the food, there is some left over. Naaman is the renowned captain of Aram's army in Damascus, but he is a leper. Earlier in their marriage, Naaman and his wife had captured an Israelite girl and made her their servant. She wished her master could visit Elisha, and she tells Naaman's wife. The king gives Naaman a letter to the king of Israel and heads out with 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. In Israel, he makes his request to Jehoram, who is visibly upset by the visit, tearing his clothes, wondering if he is expected to be a god. Elisha hears about the captain and the letter and tells the king to send Naaman to him. At Elisha's door, the prophet sends word for him to wash his feet 7 times in the Jordan. Naaman is insulted because the water of Damascus is much cleaner than the Jordan. He heads home. His servant begs him to dip himself in the Jordan. He does, and on the 7th time, his skin is as new as a baby's. Naaman returns to Elisha to give thanks and gives him the gifts, but Elisha refuses. He tells Elisha that his God is Elisha's God, even though he will have to accompany his king back to Rimmon. He asks forgiveness, and he heads home. The gifts that Naaman offered Elisha tempt Gehazi. He follows after Naaman and lies about the need for a small portion of the gifts. He asks for a talent of gold and 2 changes of clothes for 2 young men. Naaman doubles the offer. Gehazi hides the gifts in his house. Now Elisha knows what he has done and he questions Gehazi. Because of his sin, Elisha curses Gehazi and his family with Naaman's leprosy.